Okay, let's try it again. So welcome everyone. The regular session of the Hillsborough City School District for August 19th, 2021 at 6 p.m. And we're moving up to 4.1. Hillsborough Teachers Association, Alec McKenzie.
Hi everybody, I'm very excited. We're elected now and all of our officers in place and lots of people volunteering for different committees. We are looking forward to negotiations. It's really strange. I've been on the negotiations team for, I need to go figure out how long it's been, but it's been at least 10 years. And it's very strange to be on this side of the negotiations table and not be in the room where it happens anymore. I'm in communication with the negotiations team about that. It sounds like you guys are setting up some dates and we're looking forward to another good round of bargaining and negotiations with all of you. And looking forward to a really positive start to the school year. It sounds like it's been a great start at all the schools. Lots of members are getting back to me that they had really good first days yesterday, and that continued into today. So I'm looking forward to a great year.
Thank you, Alec. 4.2 would be CSEA D Mooring. I do not see D in the room. So we will move on to 4.3, Associated Parents Group. Courtney, welcome. Welcome to your new role.
Hi, thank you. I am very excited to be leading the APG board this year. And I wanted, I have a two slides I wanted to show. I wanted to kind of introduce you virtually, thanks to Kim's idea, to my board and who's leading at each school. But in the meantime, I just wanted to mention that our focus this year, we decided as a group, is going to be transparency across all of the school sites. We definitely don't want all of the campuses to be cookie cutter and exactly the same. We want them all to retain their own character. But due to the pandemic and the rise in social media presence and online and electronic communication, the parent boards are getting a lot of feedback from parents more than ever before, and a lot of comparisons and questions about what's happening at each school site. So we just want to make sure that all of the parent leaders are kind of armed with the most up-to-date information about what's happening at each school site, so that they can answer very intelligently about why their site might have decided to do something different or the same, since parents are definitely coming to them more than ever. So, okay, we go to the next slide. Thank you. So I'm your president, Courtney. Our treasurer is Rosemary Chang. Our secretary this year is Maren Thompson. Communications is Isha Sinha. Our RISE president is Grace Liang. And HSF is Bree McCall. This year, we actually have co-presidents at all of the elementary schools, which I think is a first. At North, we have MJ Wasim and Marlo Gostroud. South is Carolyn Lorber and Nahal Fells. And at West, we have Liz Koo. And Mira, that is her maiden name. It's Desvozito is her current last name. So that was a typo on my part. And our Crocker parent group president is Jen Salma.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Courtney. 4.4, HSF, our new HSF president, Bree McCall.
We all felt like summer was a bit of a sprint, but I am confident that this is going to be a strong year and we are going to build on the positive momentum of all that we accomplished this last year. I want to thank Luann and all of the educators and administrators who have made this return to school go so smoothly and possible and just give our children a full day. We are so appreciative. It's been a really positive experience just in the first 2 days. I also want to say that we have promised to allocate to the district another $3.4 million this year. So that's exciting. So thank you to the community and everyone who supports HSF. You are all making this possible. And thank you to our Board of Trustees for for your continued and consistent 100% participation in HSF. That is tremendous. Thank you for leading that. I also want to let you know Giving Day is coming up on September 23rd. Remember, it's called Giving Day. So we're focused on donations, not pledges. And please support us with your lime green couture. And last year, we had a great year. We sprinted to that finish line too, and all three elementary schools hit 90%, over 90% participation. So, yeah, I don't think we got to celebrate that enough. It was a wonderful photo finish. And we also, across the board, actually I want to make one more note about that 90%. We are going to continue allocating a $5,000 to each school when they do hit that mark. So that is going to be repeated again. And also, despite the pandemic, across all schools, we had over 81% participation. So when I tell this number to other foundations, they are just agog at what we're able to accomplish here as a school district and a community. The annual report has been finished and is being packaged up. So look for that in the end of next week. And also, we are proceeding with our Hillsboro Classic. So all systems are go for October 21st and October 22nd. Okay? Thanks so much for your support, and looking forward to this great year.
Thanks, Bree. 4.5, Superintendent Report, Luann Carlomagno.
All right. Welcome, everyone, and welcome again to the 21-22 school year. I just want to do a shout-out to everyone who supported our back-to-school breakfast this year with our Go for the Gold Olympic theme. So yay to that, and a lot of just incredible participation from a number of different folks. And a shout-out to Margo Mansfield, who's back here, Linda Hum, who works with Matthew, Linda Kamak, our M&O team, Ron and his team. We were out there at the crack of dawn, literally, setting everything up. We had never done it outside like this before. And the M&O team just was amazing. And just trying to get all the logistics together, it was super fun. Jeremy Slater was great on the music, as you all know. Our mascots were rocking it out there. Trustee Olaf made a little video of that, so it's on social media. Take a look. And I know there was like a lot of in-depth competition, so it was very hard to pick a winner of the mascot. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Principal Brady wants to win so badly. I think I have to give her an extra medal for her efforts out there. And then I just want to do a shout out to our Vice Mayor, Christine Krolik, who sang the national anthem. And now I'm totally motivated every year to have someone sing the national anthem. And we have a lot of incredible voices right here in our HCSD community. No one in this room, but we do have others who are. Well, how about no one in the first two rows? So anyway, FYI that we do have some incredibly talented folks in our district, and I'll be tapping them next year for the national anthem. And then I want to introduce Antoinette Henson, who is my new executive assistant. So we wish our Karen Bender a happy retirement and welcome Antoinette. So please, if you've not met her already, introduce yourselves to her. That would be fantastic. And then I just want to thank all of our parents, APG, HSF, for just such a warm welcome for our educators. The schools were just so beautifully decorated. The kids were excited to come back, the educators. It was just amazing. And so I would like our principals here to just give us a couple minute rundown on the first days of school. So I think you have the microphone. Matthew, could you maybe pass that back to our principals? And you can start in whichever order you'd like, just a quick little rundown about your first couple days at school.
Let's start with Minnie the Viking. we have had a wonderful week. We started off with an amazing breakfast, and then we had a wonderful staff meeting on Monday afternoon, and we really set the stage for our educators' theme of care, connections, and community. Our staff was so excited after I don't know how many months to come together in person in our NPR room, and we had a great opportunity to connect, to remind ourselves that to be mindful of our self-care, because when we care for ourselves, then we can truly care for the students that we serve. So I really enjoyed welcoming back our staff. And then Wednesday came, and I always love the first day of school. We work so hard to get there, and we get to really enjoy our students. And for the first time, we had everyone back on campus since 2 years ago, August, when we did it the last time. So we had a wonderful first day. And I mentioned this earlier, our students designed and created all of the activities for our Wednesday. And so in each department, you would see a similar activity. Math had an activity that was student designed and teacher led. And it was a wonderful way to recognize that our students needed also that time to come back and connect and spend time together. And also, so much of what we do in middle school is to build student agency, and we are so glad to start that first day that way. We have welcomed 28 new students, new families who are Crocker this year. We have 138 sixth graders, 151 138 eighth graders, 151 seventh graders, and 156 sixth graders, which I think is the biggest class I've had since I've been here 3 years ago. So we're really excited about that. I want to compliment all of our educators and our staff, and especially our custodial staff who have done an amazing job to get our school spotlight shining. With all of the different structures that we're doing, everyone's eating outside, all outdoor eating. Puts a lot of extra tasks on our custodial staff, and they're doing a great job. And our educators are doing an excellent job of bringing our students back and welcoming them, and are remembering our we call it Crocker Cubed, care, connections, and community.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I am so proud and excited to be starting my fourth year as the South Principal this year. And as Maria said, it was such a joy to have people on campus and adults as well. And the first day, Wednesday, was a little hectic with parents wanting that magical moment of actually walking to school with their children. And we had a tremendous number of walkers. It was amazing. And we kicked off our first day with a welcome back breakfast for our parents. Rather, I'm sorry, welcome back coffee. We did not have coffee. We asked them to bring their own coffee, but we did have some treats and snacks and lots of decorations. And it was sort of like my first year when I wasn't anticipating 80 to 100 people in the NPR, and I knew that it was either going to be very few people or lots of people, and it was a lot of people, so it was wonderful to have that energy and that joy, and I think that just really sort of kicked off the day and the week, and it's hard to believe that we're finished with our second day already. So the Welcome Back Coffee, I just want to also give a big shout out to our South Parent Group, because they did such a phenomenal job decorating and getting it ready the night before. Our custodial team
All right, principals, thank you so much for the feedback about our site activities. It's awesome. I just want to talk about a couple more things. Safety protocols and procedures. I just want to do a shout out to Tony Giacomasi and the HREC team. And that is in large part because they are taking on a lot of projects during the summer that led us to think about how we would get kids safely back in school. And the logistics were super important, but even more importantly were the actual programs. And just the excitement that the kids had about attending programs this summer with, again, an increase in normalcy compared to what we had last year. And so I just wanted to say thank you to Tony. It's just a really awesome, awesome opportunity for our students. And Tony will be giving an update at the September board meeting about summer school and Hive. So we'll see him again. He's so excited, I know. And then I also want to do a shout out and thank Maureen for coordinating the COVID testing of 825 students. And okay, there was a lot of people in this room involved, but if Maureen wasn't heading up the logistics, yeah, not so much. So it was an incredible, incredible day, both at West and here at Crocker. And for those of us who participated, it was nonstop. It was nonstop. Courtney and I had a little partnership there at our table. So you got, you know, mano-a-mano with the people who were helping you at your table and really got effective and efficient at doing the COVID testing. So thank you for that. And thank you for to Trustee Geddes. I believe we received close to 4,000 take-home rapid antigen tests today. And if you think you're going to walk anywhere in Maureen's office, you better think again, because it is filled with boxes and there are still pallets, and Ron's team had to load them in. We had to go back there and count them all. So truly, we couldn't do the work we were doing without Trustee Geddes and the partnership with California Department of Public Health that is supplying us with all these tests. And Leilani's right there with them. So it's, we're very, very fortunate that we have that opportunity. And then also wanted to do a shout out to M&O and all the work that they did this summer. Mike Wasserman is here. We, of course, have Ron and Larry Raffos here. And Larry will be giving us an update on ventilation projects that took place this summer. And then again, certainly last but not least, just a shout out to our parents, our staff, and community partners, and everybody working in sync. There was a lot of logistics to getting school started. Many of you know, as you drove around Hillsboro, they're just repaving all the roads leading to the start of school. And so that was a little bit nerve-wracking, but the town was super great in communicating with us and trying to make it as seamless as possible for everybody. HPD out there just kind of minding traffic and helping people get to where they need to go. And of course, our town that participated, and I believe it may have been the town manager, and maybe it was the vice mayor. They won one of our competitions. Second to Trustee Olaf and Trustee Geddes, who also won another competition. So it was quite the event. So I just want to say welcome back to everyone, and it is fantastic being here with you. So thank you.
Thank you, Luann. Trustees, any questions? Kim?
While he's in the room, I just want to amplify what Luann shared about Hillsboro Recreation this summer and how creative and innovative the programming was. The Emerging Leaders Program, which took our middle schoolers and had them doing real-time leadership and work experience on the ground with Hillsboro kids. It was awesome. And the Crocker Leap program, which was so brilliant because it took our incoming sixth graders and acclimated them to the Crocker campus and built confidence and made them feel this sense of belonging before they even stepped on the first day of school. And not to mention all the other programs, the Hive, there were sports and crafting and drama and like anything you needed, wanted, it was here. So thank you, Tony and Brian and your team for creating these safe and mental health and physical health, enriching activities for our students. So thanks.
Trustees, any more questions or comments about the regular reports we've heard this evening? Maybe I will go out of my way to HSF once again, 90% participation, all three elementary schools. I don't remember hearing that before, that all three elementary schools.
It's been 4 years, but that's the only other time I remember it happening.
So wonderful job with that again. Members of the public, any comments on the regular reports we've heard so far this evening? Seeing none, we can move on then to current business. 5.1, update on the summer ventilation projects. Luann and Larry and...
Okay, I think Larry Raffo is going to come up and give us a rundown. So I think that microphone should be working, Larry. Just turn it on and you're good to go. I think. Excellent.
I'm going to take this off because my glasses fog up. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. Members of the board and guests to this board meeting, last June, I gave a rather lengthy report on ceiling fan, second phase of a pilot project on ceiling fans, and then quite a bit of time was spent on ventilation of and air quality for the schools. Tonight, what I'd like to do is to just briefly report back to you on the progress or lack thereof, which occurred over the summer. First of all, I wanted to start out with the pilot project phase two, the ceiling fans. After the board meeting in June, the ceiling fan order was put in, and the time frame was for arrival of the fans was mid to late July. Due to supply and shipping delays, which many industries have been dealing with, they did not arrive as was expected. As we went and tracked, the last tracking that was done to try and get a hold of these in the district was done on August the 17th. And at that time, the arrival date has now been set at August the 24th, which is next Tuesday. The plan was to have these fans installed in the pilot classrooms by the start of school, and that obviously didn't happen. But Mike has been in touch with the supplier, Norman Wright. We've also been in touch with Star Energy, which is the installer for these fans, and both have agreed that the fans would arrive here and be installed as quickly as possible. Since school's in session, Star Energy has agreed to use what's called a swing schedule, which means they will come in after school is over in the afternoons, at night possibly, maybe even on a weekend, to get the fans installed. The advantage we have with regards to using Star Energy is they're the ones that installed the previous ceiling fans, so they are familiar with what is necessary to install a fan in each of our four schools, so the installation should go fairly quickly. The teachers and principals have been informed of the delay. We will, between Ron and I, we will keep them informed, and as the schedule is put together, we will let the principals and teachers of those affected classrooms know what's going on so they can be prepared for, you know, maybe having some work done after school, late dismissal, or on a weekend. Let me finish this thing and then we can, you know, we can take questions. With regards to the air quality and ventilation improvement, a lot of work was done at all four sites over the summer. If you remember, we did a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, and there was one slide in that presentation that indicated the four areas that were going to be worked on during the course of the summer. Implementation improvements at all four sites, which was going to be done primarily by an outside contractor. Minor adjustments and repairs, which was going to be done by our district maintenance people. The big question mark was going to be worked on by Eichler Associates, our commissioning agent, and that was the increased ventilation to the original building at Crocker School, both the upper level and lower level. And lastly, were the steps of what we were going to, the steps that were going to be taken to get us approval for funding from AB 841. With regards to the implementation improvements by outside contractors at Crocker, roof ventilation was put in on the older building. So if you were to go to the parking lot or as you drive out or you drive up or down Ralston, you'll see vents on the roofs in the upper building, both front and back of the original buildings. So that was accomplished. Also, damper motors that were malfunctioning in some of the heating units were taken out and replaced. So all of the improvements by the contractors at Crocker were completed. At North, the work that needed to be completed was primarily damper replacement, and those were done at North. So the contractor completed his work at North for improvements. South, there were no improvements that needed to be done based on the type of system that they have. And at West, adjustable plates were put into approximately 16 of the older classrooms that basically open up onto the parking lot of the school by the office and parking lot and go back. Those are the older classrooms at West. Plates were put in to increase the ventilation and airflow. Testing was done, and we have met the standard for a small classroom, and the classroom's approximately 20 to 25 students. We can do a little bit more work, which we're hoping to do, to increase that airflow so we can now, we can hold 27, 28 students should the need for increased enrollment occur at West. And that still has to be done. But at this point in time, West School has been completed. With regards to the minor adjustments done by our maintenance staff, Crocker's maintenance work has been completed. North's has been completed. South, very little had to be done, but it was completed, and also West was completed. So all of the maintenance work was completed. The challenge was the increased ventilation in the original building at Crocker. So basically what had to happen is, and what we decided to do, and you provided at that time last June an increase of about $100,000, I think is what was approved by the board, because we weren't sure how much this all was going to cost. Well, basically, through a tremendous effort by Ron, Mike, Service Unlimited, who was our contractor, and Eichler, all working together, a solution to improve the ventilation at Crocker in those rooms was figured out that eliminated the need for architects, design work, DSA completely out of the picture because the work was not needed to be, the work did not need to be approved by DSA. There were no architectural drawings, no engineering plans that had to be drawn. So a major savings there overall. Basically what happened was to increase the ventilation, they increased, the contractor increased the speed and location of the existing fan to move it closer, move the fan closer to outdoor air, a place closer to the outdoor air intake, and also increased the speed of the existing fan in the heating units. That took a lot of rewiring, but it was done in all those rooms. And then sheet metal boxes, relatively small, about foot and a half by foot and a half sheet metal boxes, were fabricated by a sheet metal contractor. The fan contractor came in, and the ventilation contractor came in with an additional fan, smaller fan unit, installed the fan in the sheet metal box, installed the sheet metal box in the plenum, the bottom area of the heater closet, and rewired it all so that the wiring would allow both fans to come on at the same time. All that work was completed. The testing was done just a couple of days ago, and I'm happy to say that it met the new code standard for ventilation being done by units, not just outside air. So the need to keep windows open and doors open all the time is not absolutely necessary anymore. By putting those fans in and doing all the work that they did, created a few other issues that we still have to deal with, and we are dealing with them, but they're not going to affect the ventilation flow at all. So all the rooms that we were concerned about have been taken care of. I'll get to budget in just a second. The last thing I wanted to report on was the status of AB 841. In the application status, the state about a month ago, a month and a half ago, put a hold on the funding for that assembly bill. There were so many applications coming in, and since most of the funding was supposed to come from our public utilities, the state put a hold on that because they're not sure they could get the money to even fund the applications that were already in. So we have not submitted our application yet, but we're very confident when we do, it will be accepted. But with the money on hold, we've got a little bit more time. I would like to just close. Let me back up a second. Let me just finish one other item. We had a preliminary budget on one of the other slides, in June. And the Eichler soft costs of $35,000 are still within the confines of that number. Their invoices have not maxed out their contract as yet. CPM is fine with their contract currently, well underneath the cost. West School, the budget of $7,300 came in on budget. South School came in on budget with the minor repairs they had. And North School, which had a few more repairs, came in on budget. So the three schools have all come in on budget. Crocker, which we are into the $100,000, given all the work we have done, by $36,000. So we're well under the $100,000 that you put in, gave us use of. We will have a more specific budget report for you probably in the September board meeting, because some of these things are still, some of the adjustments we have to make with regards to the fans are still in progress. So it'll cost a little bit more, but we're well under that $3,600, well under the $100,000 figure. And the last two things I wanted to say, number one, I've been involved with Mike and Ron for a lot of years. It's a pleasure to work with them. It's been a pleasure to work with Service Unlimited as the contractor that Ron had, as well as Eichler Associates as a commissioning agent. To watch, because my knowledge of heating units and ventilation, you could probably balance on the head of a pin, between Ron and Mike in those two companies, they worked really hard to try and come up with the most effective yet most cost-efficient solutions that they possibly could. And believe me, it went back and forth a few times as far as what we could do and what we couldn't, and things were constantly being adjusted, and to some extent still are. But they have done an outstanding job, and I wanted to give them all the credit that they deserve, because it was a lot of work and a lot of very complicated work. And the last thing I will say before we get questions is I'll quote from the last email that we got from Eichler Associates. All classrooms now comply with current code HVAC, not from natural ventilation, as was the case before. So that concludes my report. I think we've accomplished a lot this summer, and I'll be happy to take any questions from the board.
Thank you so much, Mr. Raffo.
And so will my two partners in crime up there.
I mean, it's great news that we are now within the ventilation requirements. That's a very productive summer. Trustees, any questions or comments on ventilation? Greg.
I just marvel at the teamwork, the collaboration amongst all of you. You probably hear, Mike, I'm sure, hears horror stories of other districts where this vendor and that district person and that, and to be collaborating and innovative, that your little story on coming up with that different solution was just great. And I have to say that kind of teamwork has been in place for some time.
Mm-hmm.
now,
yeah.
and it continues. And
yeah.
So I can't compliment you all enough. So thank you.
And I'd just like to add, with regards to the commissioning agent, and I don't work for them. I'm not trying to do any, you know, make any money off of what I'm saying at all. But commissioning agents don't get anything for really helping you. Their job is to come in, test, say, yes, it passes, no, it doesn't. They might give you a suggestion or two, but they rarely sit down and actually work with the contractor and the owner to figure out a solution that will be beneficial and cost efficient and so on. They really don't have to do that, but this company does, and it's something to just keep in mind, you know, for future reference if the board goes another, you know, because commissioning is a real crucial issue now and really needs to be done where it didn't a number of years ago.
Other trustee comments on ventilation? Members of the public, any questions or comments on the summer ventilation project? I don't see any. Thank you very much, Mr. Raffin.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
We now move on to 5.2, which has the joy of we will temporarily adjourn from regular session and begin a public hearing for the independent study board policy and administrative regulations. So are there any public comments on the independent study board policy and administrative regulations? And I don't see any public comments, so we will adjourn from the public hearing and return to the regular session. That brings us to 5.3, which is, once again, independent study board policy and administrative regulations. Luann.
Thank you, Trustee Geddes. So on this item, I'm asking for the board to approve our independent study board policy and administrative regulation. And those of you who are familiar with this know that our board policy is reflective of the requirements in AB 130. And we are asking for the board's approval, and we actually put this wording in the board policy that this is for the 21-22 school year. And it does not go past that. Thank you, Trustee Danis. Because there are a lot of complicating factors in the assembly bill and the legislation. And so we are tackling all of those. We are following the law. And we would like that to be just for 1 year. So I would ask for the board's approval on the new board policy and administrative regulation.
Trustees, any discussion, questions, or comments on Greg?
Just Luann and team went through the initial draft of those, and we sanitized them to take out the 9 through 12 in high school. And
yeah.
The reason that I asked to have that paragraph added at the end is they're so poorly written that all these new requirements are in this 10-page, whatever it was, policy, and you can't, they didn't write it in a way that you could tell whether it was permanent or not, right? And so I thought we need a sentence that says anything that in here that's complying with 130 goes away with 130, so.
Yes.
Thank you for that. We've already had public comment, so if there is no further discussion, anyone care to make a motion?
You're next.
I will, okay. I move to approve the Hillsborough City School District Independent Study Board Policy and Administrative Regulations. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We'll take Greg as the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
That's thank you.
Board Policy and Administrative Regulations. And so now we're on to 5.4, Declaration of the Need for Highly Qualified Educators. Ms. Leilani Bell.
Be in need of
apply for emergency permits for them, because even though they're fully credentialed teachers, they don't have their library service credentials. So this is to allow this to happen, and I'm requesting that we can approve it.
Trustees, any questions or comments on the need for fully qualified educators? Members of the public, any questions or comments on this topic? There's a comment in a question in the back. Coming in the back. Can we get a microphone?
It's okay.
It's recorded for people who wish to listen later. So we appreciate the question. That is not quite the topic that we're discussing, but chatting with Superintendent Carlamagna would probably be the appropriate next step.
Yes, or reaching out. So if a parent has a concern about a guest teacher in a classroom, always reaching out to the principal is always a good first step. If there's any concerns, to reach out, and then the principal can address it from there. So that's the best course of action. So in addition to that, if you have concerns about the personnel, you can always contact Leilani Bell, who is the Director of Human Resources. So she oversees all the personnel in the district. So if for some reason you feel like it's not being addressed, you can always contact Ms. Bell. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. There's another comment. We try to find a qualified teacher rather than extending the time when a teacher is not qualified.
Oh, so some of this stuff that Ms. Bell is presenting, some of it is a formality through the state in terms of having a qualified teacher as defined by the state. So whenever we have somebody who goes out on leave, we always are very, very proactive in getting a teacher in that classroom to cover the classroom while that teacher is out on leave. And I will say, because of the rate of pay that we have and really the reputation that we have, we actually get very, very strong substitute teachers that want to come to us, because ultimately they feel like if they're able to come to us, perhaps in the future we might hire them. So in terms of being highly qualified, I would say as a generic comment, the teachers who do come to us are highly qualified. And there's just definitions of the state that we have to kind of follow. Like, so for instance, the teachers who we have right now in our libraries, they're excellent, excellent teachers. It's because they are lacking one piece of a credential that we have to make public that they are not fully credentialed in that area. But it doesn't mean that they can't do an excellent job in that classroom.
So,
right.
So I do appreciate the comment, and thank you very much. This is unfortunately not a town hall and a discussion. It is just a school board meeting. So I think a follow-up with the superintendent would probably be the appropriate thing to continue discussing that question. Are there other comments for the board? No. So in that case, this is an action item. Would anyone care to make a motion?
I move that we approve the declaration of need for highly qualified educators.
All second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much. That brings us to 5.5, the HCSD Remote Independent Study Program. Luann.
Thank you, Trustee Geddes. So in this item, I'm asking for the board's approval for the plan that we have in place to support our students who are interested in remote independent study. Currently, we have 14 students scanning kindergarten through sixth grade who are interested in remote independent study. And again, this is a completely different program than what was offered last year when we had virtual classroom. And that is the state essentially ended the virtual classroom program when the law expired on June 30th. So we do not have a virtual classroom program, but instead we're following the regulations that are outlined in AB 130 to offer remote independent study. And initially we were, many districts in the county were looking at a company called Stride that offered a remote independent study program. And that kind of morphed into a small group of districts coming together that have very similar demographics and curriculum and philosophy of education within the county. And so we pooled our resources and we now have a program that we actually feel really good about. And not that we didn't with Stride, because I actually felt great about that program too. There was some ambiguity in the law regarding whether we could use them or not, or we had to use our own classroom teachers. So we are going to be working with Menlo Park, Portola Valley, Las Lomitas, and Hillsboro to come up with a remote independent study program, and it's going to be run through Menlo Park. They're the largest district out of all of us. They have about 3,100 students or so, and we are coordinating with them. So Maureen Sullivan, who is our coordinator of independent study, is working closely, as is Bhavna Narula and Matthew Lindner. The three of them have really been the backbone of this program and communicating with parents and doing outreach with Menlo Park. And previous even to this, we had a very strong collaborative partnership with Menlo Park. And so it just felt like it was a good synergy between the different districts and how we could most effectively provide remote independent study. So we're pretty excited about it. It is not in-person study, and that's what we want all of our students to do. If their parents are comfortable with having that, we think our safety protocols and procedures, but there are some families who have some significant concerns, and this is the option for them. So I ask for the board's approval in our remote independent study plan.
Trustees, any questions or comments about independent study? Great.
Luann, could you review briefly the budget part of this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that is actually, and interestingly, that is even changing as we go along here. So let me take a look at that. So one of the things is we are obligated to Stride for $3,000, I think is the amount that we cannot get back, but it doesn't mean that we may not want to do a program with them moving forward with that $3,000 as a base. So what we are looking at is sharing the cost, the four districts, and we're doing it by our total enrollment. And we'll actually look at the CBEDS number that comes out, and that will be kind of reflective of our total enrollment. And we are just splitting it based on that enrollment number. Now, we actually don't have any seventh or eighth grade students currently participating in the program. So we believe that the overall program will be less than what it is currently marked as because we don't need to pay those teachers through Menlo Park to do, you have to be credentialed in the subject area. And because sixth grade students can be taught by teachers who have multiple subject credentials, we think that price will go down. We're looking at about $108,000, but it may actually go down more to maybe about $80,000, and that's for the year. And basically we have approximately 21 students that may move in and out. That's kind of our number. But I know that Menlo Park is very flexible, so if we had to put more in the program, we could. And if we had fewer, we would have fewer. But it's still going to cost anywhere between, I would say, maybe $80,000 to $108,000.
Mm-hmm. And to clarify on that cost, if I read it correctly, the breakdown in cost is about the total enrollment in the district, not the specific number of students who are in this program.
Correct. It's based on all the districts who are participating, our total enrollment.
Gilbert.
As a point of clarification, so as I recall, because there's an inter-district transfer involved, they won't be, for the academic program, they won't be part of our school, but they are have the option of participating in other programs related to Hillsborough. Is that correct?
That's a great question, and I'm going to turn that over to either Maureen, Bhavna, or Matthew, because they still do have access to our programs, but maybe you want to articulate on that a little bit.
Yeah, so a couple of the pieces that we wanted to make sure to help keep the student connection was to be able to
we just
allow
pay them, it comes to us still.
Access to Clever and a lot of the online resources that students have. We also plan to do most, if not all, of our benchmarking assessments that we would do with all of our students. And with remote independent study, we're able to get in touch with them, schedule a time so that they can take those so that we can be using our metrics as well to help keep track of how they're doing. And then also that they would, of course, have access to Hillsborough Recreation. And then by leaving them in the system as well, in PowerSchool, they'll still receive updates from their home schools where they're registered for Hillsborough, so that they're in the loop on events and activities and things that are going on, APG, and so on. So
I think you covered it all. I think we still, one of the priorities we faced was keeping the Hillsborough connection alive. So having access to attending the school events, just sort of building that community so that they do feel they're part of the community. And then with remote independent study, part of AB 130 is that students can choose to return to in-person instruction back in Hillsborough. And we have 5 days to program their in-person return to in-person instruction. So we definitely keeping that in mind. And keeping students' social emotional well-being in mind, we definitely emphasized that community connection for our students.
I think the only thing that I would add is just in terms of my role will also be.
You're good.
You're good.
Sorry, I can't tell. Would be to monitor those students and to make sure. You know, remote independent studies requires a lot of independent work, and to make sure that the program is a good fit. So, you know, I will be checking in, you know, with them and seeing how they're doing in terms of their progress.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarification, amplification.
Any other trustee questions on independent study? Members of the public, any questions, any comments on independent study program? I don't see any comments. So this is also for action. I will move to approve the HTSD remote independent study program for the 2021-22 school year. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second with Gilbert Y. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That gets us to item 6, the consent agenda. Does any trustees want to pull anything off the consent agenda? No, I move that we approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Gilbert Y. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No, the consent agenda passes. Zooming right ahead to item 7, public hearing for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have any topics not on tonight's agenda that they wish to address to the board? I don't see any. Items not on the agenda. That brings us to item 8, communications and board item discussions. Do any trustees have any communications for the board? Yes, Greg.
this has just kind of put the idea in our heads. I've been realizing I'm on the county committee for school district organization. I have been for 14 years. And it's become increasingly clear that every time, you know, people apply to change the boundaries, move from this district to that district, right? And they're frequently very contentious. And 9 times out of 10, one or both of those districts filing these petitions are my clients in my private, in my law firm practice, and I can't participate, right? And so I feel like the more that goes on, I'm not able to fulfill the obligation that's there. And I know, I thought, Don, you mentioned once that there may be something in our policy that says the clerk is the representative or something, but whatever we need to do to consider changing who that is, and we would have to work with the liaison from the county office Just someone who can participate more than I can, I think, is called for. It's really archaic, interesting work. Former trustee Lynn Esselstein is on it, so just wanted to put that idea out.
A quick clarification. So we usually reorganize the board in December. Are you asking for a possible change prior to December?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Technically, I'm elected to that committee. So we need to figure out how to change it, especially with our policy, because I'm the clerk. But that could change, too.
I actually thought we had changed that policy, but maybe we didn't. Okay.
Greg, thank you.
Trustee Danis, do you happen to remember what that would just be under board bylaws somewhere? Or the zeros?
Probably.
Okay.
9,000.
9,000, okay.
Any other communications from trustees? All right, so moving on, we have a public address concerning items on the closed session agenda. Do any members of the public have any items on the closed session agenda that they wish, any comments about the closed session? They wish to address the board? And seeing none, that will allow us to adjourn the regular meeting at 7:06. Thank you all for coming. Have a great night.